Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Michael Keegan, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Phyllis Schneck, Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and Communications within the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Also joining our conversation from IBM is Melinda Balthrop. So, Phyllis, you've mentioned a couple of times you've used the metaphor of a weather map, and I understand that DHS wants to plug holes in cyber defense with big data. And how's the department using data and analytics to get a full-scale, real-time model of potential cyber threats facing agencies? And would you tell us more about the weather map approach of predicting cyber as opposed to climate threats?
So this is one of my favorite topics. I studied high-speed tornado forecasting with high-performance computing before I got into security. So this is where some of my analogies are coming from. I first want to address the issues of big data. So I try not to use that term in this context simply because if you have so much data, the question becomes, how do you find what you need? What we want to do is take the data that we have from protecting our civilian agencies and use that to combine with what the private sector has from protecting themselves or data mining that they do. And they do some amazing work in the private sector. And so our job is not to repeat that business. We don't want to compete with that business, and we don't want to cannibalize that business. We want to use it. We want to enable them to thrive and continue to innovate. So that may mean buying things from the private sector. We're not averse to that. Done the right way. So being able to take processed data that comes from the private sector, indicators, combine it with indicators that they won't see, that we will see, of who is trying to penetrate our civilian agencies, data perhaps from other government sources as well, put that together and create, which we're doing now, a world-class, wide-scale situational awareness that we push out to everybody for their use. So if you think about a weather map, what's a weather map? Everybody can picture one. Probably looked at one this morning. It'll show you visually what's happening very quickly. There is a lot of information that goes into that. There's only a little bit that you really need to decide how you're going to do your day. So you don't need even some of the most detailed information on upper atmospheric behavior or even where they got the humidity. You just need to know if it's going to rain, if you're going to wear a hat, simple things. And that's very much what we need in cyber. So from a privacy and civil liberties perspective, we can literally go to those bare indicators. A great example that I got from a colleague was he told me that he grew up in the Midwest, and he used to run for cover when the sky turned yellow. So yellow is the indicator. What it really means meteorologically is that there's likely frozen dirt in the upper atmosphere. And in the summer, if you're seeing an indication of freezing and you have really hot air below you, that creates convective behavior and that creates bad storms. That's the exact way we want to look at cybersecurity. So we have our data that we are looking and collecting from the private sector, from the government, into our single portal in the NCIC. And that single portal is so important. Instead of having 9 locations for this, having it all in one place creates that weather map very quickly. Tornadoes happen fast. Cyber happens faster. We need to have that in one spot so that we can then, by all the policy, privacy, civil liberties decisions, disseminate it out at machine speed, and that is milliseconds, have it acted upon, combine it with what we see in the private sector, normalize what we may think of some indicators versus what private sector's seeing. In some cases, we'll be right. In some cases, they will. There's a whole field of science on how you fix that. And push out everything we know very, very quickly. So the weather map is a visualization. It's a set of analytics. It's an entire architecture that supports how to take the best innovation from both private sector and government, bring it into the work that we do at the Department of Homeland Security, and truly make cybersecurity part of Homeland Security as we work to support all of our customers across civilian government and private sector.
Phyllis, given your directorate's critical mission, it requires technical skills, expertise, and diverse competencies. What are you doing to ensure that you have a well-trained and technical workforce to meet your mission challenges? And what are the new sets of skills that you want to bring to the department in order to stay ahead of the continuously evolving threat landscape?
People are our number one top priority. That's why I always go back to trust. And that's true in the workforce as well. And people are here because they want to make an impact. I stepped into the finest team on the planet. These are the smartest experts in cybersecurity anywhere. The only complaint I would have is we don't have enough of them. So what we try to do, and this is our entire team, all of us, try to make a great workplace. We try to enable, enhance, support innovation. And that includes humor. It includes making even long nights responding to an incident. Make sure that we show people that we truly appreciate that. Make sure that we show our leadership across DHS what the team is doing. And getting out, as I have done with Secretary Johnson and others have done, and across DHS, we have an amazing program that looks at how do we reach out to students, whether it's through Scholarship for Service that we work with National Science Foundation to enable students to have the government pay part of their schooling, and then they come do some time in the government. This is a wonderful adventure, being in government. It's got an amazing mission. What we need to do for our teams is have everybody be able to use the skills they have and make the biggest impact they can and have fun with it and grow their skills and grow their career. And we work every day to do that.
What emerging technologies hold the promise for improving the work you do?
So I look a lot at computing speed. The faster that we can, and I realize that that also works for the adversary, but the faster we can get an awareness, an almost biological awareness, to build an immune system across that which is connected, the faster we can make sure that the part of the internet that needs the medicine or the connected device that needs the medicine gets the medicine. I think that mathematics and compute speed go hand in hand, and that those are the things that are driving what we need to protect right now, and those are the things that we need to have on our side. But I'll also add that our work is not just about technology. It's, again, about awareness. It's about building things with a cybersecurity focus in mind. And it goes back to that boardroom. You know, please do look at things from a risk and consequence perspective when you lay out the budget. It's the work that I've done with Undersecretary Spaulding, several trips out west to talk to the smallest, most innovative startup companies to see what new technologies are out there, to understand how they're going to fit into our future and how to potentially enable these technologies to move faster as we need them. It's also to talk with venture capitalists, how the best investments can go to the things that we need now, and most importantly, how to make sure that those startup companies protect the intellectual property with the same rigor and care that they protect the, you know, the people.
Well, Phyllis, staying on the future for a little while, what are some of the major opportunities and challenges you think your organization will face in the future, and what do you think you'll do to address those challenges and seize those opportunities?
Well, our secretary announced the opening of a DHS West Coast office, Silicon Valley office. He announced that on 21 April. So we are now working rigorously to determine how that starts, how it might grow. It's a whole of department unity of effort across cybersecurity, across, again, our whole department. That's how we do it. But we want to look at that future and look at that presence across the country. Washington is not the only place that does cybersecurity. In fact, it's, I would argue that some of the best science, technology, and people are nowhere near Washington. So how we bridge that gap, how we have a presence, how we get to know more people across the country is a major priority. I think from an opportunity perspective, understanding how to leverage the awareness that the press, that Hollywood gives to cybersecurity right now, to operationalize that into everyday life, to help our citizens. We have awareness campaigns such as Stop, Think, Connect, meaning think before you click on the link, right? But how to penetrate that with our citizens so that cybersecurity is top of mind, data protection is top of mind, how we can then bring that from the workplace to the home and from the home to the workplace because many people use the same devices, and how to then take that into our companies. Again, it comes back to risk and consequence and making this part of our overall culture.
Phyllis, what advice would you give someone who's thinking about a career in public service?
This has been the greatest adventure of my career. Having, you know, doing this now, I believe that it's something that everybody would benefit from and truly enjoy at some point in their career. It doesn't have to be the first thing you do. You can do it at any time. But again, I've talked to probably thousands of people over the past 19 months about coming to work with us, what it means. And it's really not about money. There's a cliche, the government doesn't pay as well. You know, we get that. But the mission is second to none, the most phenomenal I've seen. The people are second to none, the most phenomenal I've seen, and the smartest. And the opportunity to work within that and make a difference will teach some life lessons that money can't buy.
I want to thank you for taking some time out of your busy day. This has been a wonderful conversation. But more importantly, Melinda and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the country.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's a humbling honor.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with Dr. Phyllis Schneck, Deputy Undersecretary for Cybersecurity and Communications within the National Protection and Programs Directorate of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. My co-host from IBM has been Melinda Balthrop. Be sure to join us next week for another informative, insightful, and in-depth conversation on improving government effectiveness. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Michael Keegan, and thanks for joining us.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.